Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the technically the 13th episode of the He Said, She Said podcast, but the first one with our new co-host, Ashley Spivey. Ashley, how are you?
Great. 13's unlucky.
No. Yeah, that's true.
It's fine. But I'm not going to let that get me down.
Yeah, we've brought you aboard for, I've brought you aboard for this next round of shows. And right now, the plan is we're going to do one show a month. But because this show is free, you don't have to sign up for Stitcher or anything like that. This is going to be released on the Reality Steve podcast. I'm going to put it out every Tuesday. So you're hearing this show hopefully on July 3rd when I released it. And then the plan is I think we're going to do one a month for the first couple months. First week of August will be our next episode, and then maybe first week of September. And then after that, we'll see how it's going, but we'd like to do more. And it will all depend on you as a caller and a viewer. The more people are interested who want to be on, the more shows basically we can put out, because this is about the callers. I mean, you and I will have a banner back and forth in the beginning of the episode and after each call. But for the most part, this is about the callers and helping them out with whatever their issues seem to be. Today on the podcast, we have two polar opposite phone calls that you could possibly think of.
Completely different.
Yeah. I mean, our first one is a very serious nature with Laura in DC, who has had a traumatic incident happened to her back in college, and she's still dealing with it to this day. And then we have Alex in New York, discredit anything of Alex's story, but it's not anywhere on the level that Laura's was, obviously. And you'll hear that coming up. But Ashley,
it's still tough.
Yeah, Ashley, I was thinking about this, and with your book club that you do, you've read God knows how many books in the last. How many books have you read in 2018?
Roughly
6 months.
I mean, I try to read 2 to 3 a week.
A week? So when do you get, when I know in past podcasts, when you've been on in the past, I know one thing I remember you saying is that you have trouble sleeping, right?
Yes.
So I'm assuming that's when you do. Okay. So is that when you do a lot of your reading? Is that night before bed?
I do a lot of it at night before bed. I read anytime I'm on the subway. I also am reading anytime Burley has squash practice or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Where I kind of have to just sit around and wait.
Yeah. I wanted to, are you there? I think it froze. Oop, are you there? Okay. It froze for a little
bit.
Yeah. Okay. You might have to hold on here real quick. How about, give it for the next 30 or 45 seconds, fill in the readers while I go run and get something. Fill in the readers or listeners on some of your most recent books that you've read and some like mini reviews, like what was really good and what was maybe not as good or whatever the case may be.
Ooh, okay. Hold on. Let me look at everything that I've been reading. Two of my favorites that I read recently was How to Walk Away. which is a book about a girl who's in a plane crash with her fiance, and then kind of her recovery period, how it affects their relationship. I thought that it would kind of be a heavier book, but it was actually pretty positive and light. So I really enjoyed that one. What's another one I've loved recently? Oh, Then She Was Gone is one of the craziest thriller books that I've read recently. It has one of the craziest twists I think I've ever read. So the first part of the book, you're just going to be like, wow, this is a great thriller. Everything's just going along. You won't be able to figure anything out. And then when the twist comes, you're just going to be, holy shit, I did not see that coming at all. That is the craziest thing that anyone could have written.
And it was called, it's called Then She Was Gone?
Then She Was Gone, yeah.
Do you think a book like that will be made into a movie? Sounds like one that could be.
Honestly, I don't even know if they could make it into a movie because the twist is that crazy. It would be hard to film it.
Oh, interesting. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, without giving too much away.
What about, what was the other thing I was going to ask you? I know this movie that is either coming out soon or maybe it was just released came from a book, and I'm wondering if you read it. This book that, hold on, let me pull, I know who's in the movie, but I don't know the name of it off the top of my head.
Crazy Rich Asians?
No. Let me see, the name of this movie is, okay, let me just look at her IMDb because it'll be the top movie on there.
Okay.
Adrift.
Oh, I have not read that book.
This movie with Shailene Woodley, the true story based on a woman who went out to sea with her either fiance or husband, and I've read like the synopsis. Basically, two people that are like sailing around the sea or going on a long sailing trip together, and they get, you know, crashed by waves. He ends up dying, and she basically is living on her own on a boat for I think lasts 42 days with like barely any water, but she lives to tell the story. And essentially, like she felt his spirit constantly talking to her, and basically she made it because she sees and hears visions of him the whole time. It's like based on a true story, and now it's in a movie and comes out this summer. But it looked really interesting. And Shailene Woodley's a girl. It was one of those heartthrobs that plays her husband. I want to say like, can't remember his name.
Maybe Chris something.
I can tell you who it is one right now. It was, the guy that's in the Hunger Games movies, this guy, Sam Clayfin. He was in the Hunger Games.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's in Me Before You.
Is he? Okay.
No, I was going to say, I don't read that many books that are nonfiction. I know that sounds bad, but it's because I consume so much news and podcasts that when I do read a book that's nonfiction, it usually tends to be a political book.
Yeah.
Which that's what I'm reading right now. I'm reading Yes, We Still Can by Dan Pfeiffer.
Okay. The reason why I had you explain your books, why I went and ran and got something. I got the last five books that I've read that I want. I just want to show you so you can laugh because of what you just told me and all the books that you read and all these, you know, suspense novels or whatever. Here's book.
They're all nonfiction.
Here's book book number one: Brandy Glanville's Drinking and Tweeting.
Oh my God. What?
Book number two, Brandy Glanville's Drinking and Dating.
What is it with Brandy Glanville?
Well, you know why? It was because this happened. I was going to LA last December and Brandy was on I did Brandy's podcast, but I interviewed her during it. Yeah. And I wanted to read up on her book, so I was a little more familiar because I don't watch Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, I don't.
Why are you so obsessed with the Real Housewives?
I've never watched. The only one I watch is the Dallas one because I know one of the girls and it's local. But I've never, and Dallas, the Dallas Housewives show is the last of the franchise of all that are, of all the ones that are airing. I never watched any of, I have no idea, but I read enough tabloid stuff to know, I know about some of these people's, I know all their names and I know some of the stories and the scandals that are involved with, like the Bethany Frankels and stuff like that. I'm aware of who she is, but in terms of like, if I were to ever have Bethany on the show, I would have not one thing to ask her about Real Housewives of New York, because I've never seen it. I know about her skinny girl stuff. I know her ex is a little bit crazy and wants like custody of their, chasing after their kids or trying, whatever. I know that. But yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen any of the Housewives shows.
Then I've got this one. Andy Dorfman, Single State of Mind. I have not read this one, but it is in my list to possibly read. This one I know you've read, or I think you've read, or at least part of it. Bachelor Nation, Amy Kaufman. Did you read that
one? Oh, yeah. I have not read it.
Oh.
I hope Amy's on my, it's in my pile to be read, and I love Amy. I need to get on it.
Did she talk to you about that one? Were you in that? I mean, I read it, but there were so many Bachelor people that were quoted in it. I can't remember if you were in it.
You know what's crazy? I did not talk to Amy until, like, probably, like, the last year. Like, whenever I think she kind of figured out that I had a book club and stuff like that. Yeah. Not saying that's why she contacted me, but just, you know.
And then the other one, and this shows you how many books I've read recently. The other one I read was I Didn't Come Here to Make Friends by Courtney Robertson. So you could see what the type of books that I read.
Right.
These are the last five books that I read, not counting Andy's, because I haven't read it yet. So I've read four books in probably... Now, I read both of Brandi Glanville's books literally in one sitting. It took me about 3 hours to read each one, and that was in December of last year. But then Amy Kaufman's book I read within the right when it came out, which was, I think, February or March-ish. I read that one right when I sat down. It took me about 4 hours. And then Courtney's book I read when it came out. So when you get me to read a book, I don't put it down. So I guess I would read at the speed of you in terms of how many I finish. I just... I do more sports podcast listening and, you know, internet stuff reading than I do book reading.
What I always tell people, like, I would consider those books that you're reading
garbage.
Like, that's still kind of like your, well, no, what I was going to say is that, no, I would say that it's still kind of like your work, because that stuff that you're doing, you know? Or it's like you studying. Whereas the books that I try to read, it's because I need an escape from the news or my life or something like that. So it's like a mini vacation for an hour. And that's what I tell people. Like, I think reading right now is a form of self-care. And sometimes it's nice to kind of have a vacation and go off into some other, you know, life or relationship. Or
do you read any biographies? Not really.
No. I haven't.
is Steve a big podcast guy? Like sports podcast guy? Like me?
He listens to a ton of Eagles podcasts.
Okay. I figured.
I'm sure that there's some that he listens to. I know he listens to some on like The Ringer or something like that.
Oh yeah. If you're a sports fan, Ringer has so many different outlets in terms of podcasts that they produce. Like there's just obviously they've established, Bill Simmons has established quite a brand over there, but I almost feel like they have so many podcasts, there's no way you could listen to all of them if you follow The Ringer. There's like so many different, they have pop culture, they have Bill's podcast, they have gambling podcasts, it's all over the map. But when I think about it, most of the podcasts I listen to are on The Ringer. It's just that they cover so much, I don't listen to, you know, Juliette Littman does the Bachelor Party podcast. You know, that's one of the ones I listen to. It's the only Bachelor related podcast that I listen to. And even now, I probably haven't heard the last two episodes, maybe three. Like I fall behind.
It's hard. There's so much stuff to consume right now.
Like if you're a big fan of knitting, I guarantee there's a podcast about knitting out there. There's a podcast about everything.
The only ones I listen to are Crooked Media's, like Pod Save America and those. And yeah. I have to like draw a line. I'm like, there's no more podcasts I can listen to because I just can't fit everything in.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So that was our intro. We're just going to get to, we have two really different calls, but, interesting calls to say the least. So, let's just get started with that. Okay, let's get to our first caller. Her name is Laura. She is in Washington, D.C. Laura, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
We're good. You are our first caller to the new episode season. Yay. Of He Said, She Said with the new co-host, Ashley Spivey. Ashley, say hi to Laura.
I'm honored.
Hi, Laura. Congrats.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you.
Okay, so let's just get into it. Laura, what is your issue, situation? What do we got here?
So I guess start at the beginning.
Yeah.
I was sexually assaulted in college, my freshman year of college. It was a violent sexual assault by someone I knew and trusted. And I had not had any relationship experience at that point. And afterwards, I really struggled for, you know, several years. I wasn't interested in a relationship. And by the time I was, you know, after therapy and, you know, a lot of work on myself, I had already graduated college at that point. And I felt like I was ready to date emotionally, but I felt like, you know, 22 was a little old to, you know, I didn't know anything about, and I didn't have any experience. And so I just felt very behind, you know, my friends and kind of what my peers were doing at that age, especially, you know, some of my friends got engaged kind of young. So I just felt light years behind. So my first dating experience, after all of that was right after college, and I took it slow with this guy, and he was really great, and I really couldn't have, I thought everything was going so well. You know, we met each other's families, and so I felt like, you know, this rape had, was a big part of who I am and my story, and, you know, when I find a partner, you know, or the one, I want to be able to talk to him about my life and not hide anything. So after dating for several months, I opened up about that. And that was like a Saturday night. Sunday morning was the last time we saw each other. He stopped answering texts and calls, you know, and it was a real relationship at that point. It wasn't, you know, casually seeing each other. So it was really devastating. And I knew, you know, without a doubt that that was why he, you know, lost interest. And it kind of, you know, really shook me, and it was horrible. So after that, I kind of, you know, I was scared again to date and to try to open up to anyone else. And so long story short-ish, I'm 28 now. That has been my only real relationship experience. And I want to, you know, I don't want to be alone forever. I want to get married one day. I want to have kids. I have a very normal, happy life. I've, you know, I don't think that most of my friends don't know what happened. And most of my friends, you know, see that I have a good career and I have good friends. And this is sort of the only one area of my life that is lacking. And I'm 28. I have very limited relationship experience. I'm scared to, you know, put myself out there. And if I date again, do I keep everything to myself, you know, forever in fear of scaring someone off, you know, having too much baggage? Or, you know, how and when do you open up about that kind of thing? And then, this was probably the more embarrassing part, I have very, you know, the rape was my first sexual experience, if you can call it that. And I'm 28 and I'm very behind on the physical stuff too. And it's embarrassing to, you know, meet a guy and wonder, you know, will he wonder or will he be thinking, you know, why isn't she a better kisser? Does she not have better experience? Or, you know, there's just, I'm very self-conscious about my lack of experience and I'm still scared. So that's sort of where I am. And I really appreciate both of you, you know, using your platform to discuss this stuff. I think it becomes a lot more comfortable for everyone if we do discuss it and we don't have to just keep it to ourselves. So.
For sure. And Laura, thank you for telling us your story and for trusting us with this information.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Couple things I wanted to say first. Obviously, it's awful what happened to you in college, especially for, I mean, the fact that that was your first experience doing anything. Like, that's, I can, you were what, 22, you said, when it happened?
I was 19 when it happened.
You were 19 when it happened. And your first relationship after that happened was probably 22
when
or
I was
23?
22.
Okay, after college.
Yeah.
Is your hesitation about just getting involved strictly because this is basically the elephant in the room? Like, at some point, I know I'm going to have to bring this up because it is part of your life. And so this is something that is, like, do you just not put yourself out there? Do you not go on dates because of this? Or are you just very careful about who you do give your time to because you want to be able to tell them eventually and you want to be someone to be fine with it?
I've definitely gone on dates and I've been selective about who I say yes to. And I've, you know, there have been several guys that I've gone on several dates with and I really kind of sabotage myself and close myself off, you know, after that point. And, you know, part of it is trust issues, you know, still, because my attack was someone I knew and thought I trusted. So,
sure.
So part of it is trust issues. And then, you know, part of it is that vulnerability, the fear of, you know, being rejected, you know, as I start developing feelings over the first few dates, you know, and I become invested, it's more to lose the further you go on if I were to be rejected again for that. So that's really, everything else in my life is lined up, you know, for me to, you know, be dating right now. And that's the one thing.
Yeah. You know, Ashley, you've talked about this a few times that you had to deal with something similar in college. So,
yeah.
How did you have the same feelings like she did? And like, in terms of getting back out there in the dating world and how is it going to be brought up and how did it work for you?
The thing I would say in terms of mine is, Laura, I was kind of the exact opposite. Instead of me being, I feel like, more careful about who I told or me trying to not say something about it, it would practically come up within like the first 12 hours of me meeting someone. And I wouldn't even necessarily recommend doing that because that that was revealing a part of myself to people who did not deserve to know that about me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like there's an in-between with what you are doing and with what I did. And the thing that you have to understand is when you meet someone and you spend time with them and they're the right person for you, you telling them that is not going to scare them off because it's not going to be something that makes you less attractive. It's going to be something that this person realizes about you and it's a part of you. It's not something that you can like take away from you being you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I feel like what I want you to understand is I heard you say that you were 28 multiple times. You are not old. Like you have your whole life ahead of you to figure this out. And I mean, I can only tell you when I was 28, I had dated so many horrible people by that point that I was ready to like not date anyone anymore.
Yeah.
So in a way, I think instead of looking at your time of what you call inexperience, consider yourself in a way instead to be able to look at all the things that maybe like your friends have done wrong in relationships or things that you see that you necessarily don't want, so that you can really go into these relationships fresh. Because I can tell you a lot of other people at your age do not have that experience. So maybe don't look at it as a negative. You've got to change your frame of mind in terms of this whole dating experience. What happened to you does not define you. And
thank you for saying
there
that.
Was one thing I wanted to ask you. Are you still in therapy?
I am.
Okay.
It's really helped, but I feel like the relationship, for some reason, even with therapy, you know, this relationship thing is still the one area that I'm not able to kind of break through or past.
Right. I wonder if I could ask you, in terms of maybe dating, would you say that there's a situation of going on a date that you feel more comfortable with rather than like maybe the normal type of dates that people go on? Like maybe going to a restaurant or like going to a bar and meeting isn't the type of thing you should be doing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What would you say you feel most comfortable doing?
Alone with a man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, would it be better?
Maybe
in, like,
more
a
of like a daytime.
Setting?
Yeah, or a group.
Yeah.
In the dates that you have gone out, like you said, you have gone on dates. Have they just been, you know, dinners, coffees, stuff like that?
Yeah.
And you've had no problem with those? Like.
No, I mean, I've been okay with that. I just haven't, you know, gone past the first few of those.
Okay.
And this guy, the guy that you were seeing, the first real relationship you had after college.
Yeah.
How long were you guys seeing each other?
About 4 months.
Was there any physical activity or no?
There was. And I was, you know, self-conscious about it, and he was very reassuring and I felt comfortable with that. But I feel like, because of how that ended, I just sort of got set back that much further with any, you know, any progress that I had made.
So in that 4 months, you guys had a regular relationship. You were dating. Was it, when I say, was it physical? Were you having sex with him or no?
Yes.
Okay. So you were, so you had gotten to that stage and everything was, everything was going great. And then you tell him what happened to you in college and he essentially ghosted you.
I'm sorry. It just broke up. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. So everything was going great with him. You guys were in a sexual relationship. You were dating for 4 months. And then you got a little serious. You told him what happened to you in college, and he basically ghosted you the next day. And you never heard from him again.
I left him a voicemail. I just left him the one. I didn't, like, stalk him or anything.
Yeah.
So I left him one voicemail saying, you know, I really cared about you, you know. Can you at least give me a reason, you know, because I wanted to hear it from him. I knew what it was, but I felt like, you know, I needed to hear it from him. So he left me one voicemail after that saying, I feel like we're in different places in our life. And that was the last time we communicated.
Sure. Yeah.
What
I
a
mean,
dick.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, what a prick.
Yeah.
And I could see how something like that would be pretty devastating. You know, your first guy after this happens to you, and then he does that. After things are going well. I could see how that affected
issue.
You. Yeah. And it's his issue. It's I understand how you would feel the way you did, but you kind of have to not pin that on yourself. Cause that has nothing to do with you. He's just an asshole. Plain and simple. But I can see where it gives you hesitation moving forward with any guy, because you're fearing that Well, if that was going as well as it was, and literally the reason it probably ended was because of what I told him, yeah, it's normal for you to think that any guy in the future, what if he does it? And but like Ashley said, any guy that has that reaction to your story isn't worth your time anyway. It just was never going to work out regardless. A guy that is worth it to you is hears that story and asks you questions about it, cares for your well-being because of it, and right. doesn't ghost you the next fucking day. Like, it's a given.
Or even maybe wants to go to therapy with you to make sure that he's saying the proper things to support you in the relationship and get you, you know, the security that you need from him. And that's the type of person, you know, that deserves you. And I think you just need to stop placing as much blame on yourself, because it's nothing that you're doing, you know, and it's something that you're going to work through and you're going to find someone.
Yeah.
How are you doing dating wise now in terms of what's your avenue to do it? Are you on apps or are you meeting through
people,
setups, or how's it?
No, I'm the old fashioned. Meeting one guy I went on a few dates with, I met at a bookstore. Some mutual friends have set me up a couple times, and no apps for me. I'm a little scared of.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Books,
stay off the apps.
Yeah, and you met him at a bookstore, Ashley. That's right up your alley. Like, you would totally meet a guy at a bookstore.
So as far as, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
As far as, you know, say that I do meet someone and, you know, I think that there could be potential there. Do either of you have any ideas about, you know, how long into, you know, seeing each other, or when, or how, you know, would be the right way or the best way, you know, to broach the subject?
Ashley, why don't you take it on this, since you experienced it, and then I'll give my opinion on as a guy when I would want to hear something like this.
Okay. I really don't think that there is a perfect time. I think that whenever you feel comfortable with this person is the right time to tell them. And again, there's really nothing you can do to make the person understand. Either they're going to or they're not. This is not on you.
Yeah.
So I just feel like when you are comfortable, there's not a way to make a person be emotionally mature enough to handle it. Either they are or they're not. And I really just feel like it's not you being it's not like you're telling this person a lie by not telling them. It's just, it's not the easiest thing in the world to tell someone. So I just feel like when you feel comfortable enough, you should be willing to share that information. And if they can't handle it, then fuck that guy.
Yeah. And as a guy, I was basically going to say it really wouldn't matter to me when it was told. It was obviously something that I would want to know probably sooner rather than later. It all depended on, in terms of me, I'm trying to think if I've ever, I was told once and it didn't change anything on my end, because it was somebody that I was interested in. But I think, like Ashley said, there is no perfect time. I think my question for you would be, and this is just for knowledge that I want to know, when this all went down, is this something that, like you said, you didn't tell a lot of people, but is this something where you turned him in, pressed charges, or is this something that just you've lived with and you haven't gone after him since then and this guy is still out there? Is he in any way part of, not like you're friends with him, but is he in any way part of your life? Because you said it was somebody you were close with. What has happened with that relationship post-incident?
Well, he graduated like 2 weeks after this happened. So, you know, we didn't see each other again after that. I did not initially do anything about it. About 6 months later, even though he was no longer a student there, about 6 months later, I went to campus police and they basically told me that there was nothing they could do. They gave me a stuffed animal to, you know, make me feel better about it.
They gave you a stuffed animal?
Dead serious. And sent me on my way. And I know that I could have gone, you know, to the actual police after that, but I was really disheartened and was just like, you know, I'm done.
I mean, I'm just so sorry you have had these assholes in your life. Like, what wrong with them?
This is obviously, campus rape is become a huge topic in the last few years. And you hear the stories about, especially if it was an athlete that did it, you know, cover-ups and all this stuff, because college sports is such a big business. You know, you've heard of coaching staffs turning blind eyes or not reporting it, whatever the case may be. I don't think I've ever heard of, hey, here's a fucking stuffed animal. I hope you feel better.
Oh.
What the hell? Like, what? Good God. I mean, it's almost like not even believable that somebody would be that callous about it to give you a stuffed animal.
Right.
What police department has a stuffed animal laying around? Why do they have them there? Do they get this often? So here, stuffed animal. So, like, that doesn't even make any sense to me.
Way.
Holy shit.
And this is why, I'm sure you already know this, but this is why you're hesitant to tell people.
Yeah.
Look at the reactions you've gotten whenever you have told people. And I'm sorry you've had to go through that, because...
Yeah, that's awful.
It really is. You did not deserve any of this.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess as we wrap this up, I think that, I mean, everything that Ashley said, and obviously I would take a lot of what Ashley said to heart, because she's actually been through this. And I think that going forward, don't put anything on yourself, and just realize that there isn't really, it sounds weird, but there isn't a whole hell of a lot that you can do other than be honest and say, this is what happened. And it's almost like you're at the mercy of their reaction. And like Ashley said, they're either going to accept it or they're not. And I don't think there's really any middle ground there for them, because even if they put up hesitation and then say, oh yeah, it's fine, you're going to harp on the fact that they hesitated and be like, oh shit, he said he's fine, but is he really fine with it? And, you know, it's almost like you should be fine with it, because it's not like you weren't the perpetrator. You were the one this happened to. So I hope you find a good guy, and I hope you find one that, but I can see your hesitation of wanting to tell and when to tell. I get all that. It is a tough situation to be in. And I mean, Ashley, if you had one last final piece of advice to give her about this.
My final thing would just be for you to stop putting all the blame on yourself, and for you to try to take all those things that you're viewing as a negative about yourself and turn them into a positive. Like I said, like, 28 is not old. And I know you consider yourself to be not experienced, but I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that would say that could be a great thing, or would want to be the person to show you all of those things. It's just, you have to find the right man that's going to be supportive and not make you feel like any of those things are bad, because nothing you told us tonight is a bad thing. It's just, you know, you have to find someone who's going to be as supportive as you deserve.
Thank you both.
Yeah, no.
No, thank you for talking to us, and I feel very honored that you would even want to share the story with us.
Yeah, thank you for opening up, because obviously that's not easy to do. As many years ago as it was, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a major event in your life, and it has shaped a lot of things that have happened since then. And I appreciate you coming on. I hope we helped in some way. And
you did.
You know, what we've always done in the past is I'll check back in with you before we record our next podcast. I'll check back in, I'll email you, and just kind of see if anything's changed, if you've met anybody, if you've gone on any dates, how it's been. But we'll definitely want to check in on you. And so, Laura, I appreciate you coming on a lot and couldn't thank you enough for being as brave as you were to talk about this openly.
Thank you so much,
no
both
problem.
Of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, Ashley. Boy, first call. She didn't waste any time. Like, the first sentence when she was like, okay, I was sexually assaulted in college. And I was like, whoa, okay, here we go. We're right back.
Man.
We're jumping back into it.
That was heartbreaking.
Yeah, it sucks. Especially when the one relationship she had post-college and the guy literally ghosts her the day after. Like, he didn't even wait a week or 2 weeks and, you know, kind of slowly pull away and like, oh, I'm not as available as, and she's like, no, the next day didn't return calls, and then I left him a message and he responds back with some bullshit answer. Like, that sucks.
I mean, ultimately that just shows that he wasn't ready for the type of relationship that she needed.
Oh yeah.
And I'm honestly, she's better off without that douche.
Yeah. And, you know, just going forward, you know, obviously we have no idea who she is going to be dating in the future.
Right.
But, I mean, the thing that sucks is there's a good chance she's going to run into that again. I mean, who knows? Maybe the next guy she dates is going to be the guy she ends up marrying. We have no idea. But there's probably more guys that will react like that than won't. And that's what sucks. Because, like you said, she feels like she's so behind the curve at 28. She's very behind physically. And she just feels like lost.
Yeah. I just hope that she has some good friends in her life that will be able to pick out someone for her who is interested in a real relationship and who isn't just looking for fun. Because I think that's what she needs. She needs someone who really does want that relationship.
Which is why she needs and doing a good job of staying off the dating apps. Because as we
exactly.
know. For the most part, I'm not saying everybody because there are people that have met on dating apps and it has worked out. But for the most part, those are hookup apps
for
guys. And she doesn't need a hookup. And it doesn't sound like she's somebody that would even entertain the thought of casual sex with somebody that
no.
she meets on a dating app. So, man, interesting first call to say the least. So I hope we helped her in some way. And
I hope so. Ugh.
Yeah.
She's just so hard on herself. It breaks my heart.
Yeah. No, that was tough. But let's get to our next caller. Here's our next caller. Her name is Alex. She is calling us from New York. Alex, you there?
Yeah. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Let's get right into it. Alex, what is your issue, complaint? What's going on that you are a part of? By the way, Alex, you are a part of the first relaunch of the He Said, She Said podcast with our new co-host, Ashley Spivey. So feel honored that you're part of this podcast.
Yes. So honored.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess like short version, I've been with my husband for 5 years, married for 2, and he has 3 sisters. He's one of the only boy. In the beginning of our relationship, it was like this really exciting thing because I'm an only child. So it was like, now I get a big family. And over the last 5 years, it's kind of, and I guess what I'm calling about is an issue that we've had recently with a sister of his that's kind of attacked me. I would call it bullying. You know, I'm in the education field, and even though bullying, people think bullying stops in elementary school, high school. I don't think it does. And yeah, I just wanted to get your guys' perspective on it, I guess.
Well, explain to us exactly what is happening with the bullying. So for people that are listening that have no idea. Yeah.
So I'm a blogger and a writer part-time on top of my full-time job. And I wrote an article about Taylor Swift's new album and like 5 lessons that I've learned from it. And one of them in particular was one of the lessons, I guess, that I learned from it and just my life recently is that despite who you are in my life, if you treat me negatively, I don't feel like I have to keep you a part of my life. I want to keep happy people in my life. I want to keep happy things in my life. And I wrote it very generally. It wasn't actually toward anyone. And one of his sisters took it very personal.
So it wasn't directed at her at all.
No. And if you were to read it, you'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, there's no names. It's just a very general, like, no matter who you are, like, I'm not going to let you treat me bad. And that's what I learned. Like, very simple.
But the subtext of it was you were kind of digging at them, right? Or no?
No, I truly wasn't. It's so funny. Like, even people in my life are like, are you sure? Because, like, I've had tumultuous relationships with all of them. But I truly just meant it in a general sense because I've lost friends in the last year. Like, I've lost people in my life over the last 10, 15 years. And it's just something that really resonated when Taylor sang about it. So,
of course.
That's why so many people love that album.
Yeah. She, like, took all those bad things and turned it great. So I guess it was my version of it, I guess.
Wait, this was 1989 we're talking about, right? Reputation.
Reputation.
Oh, God, of course.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I just saw a few weeks ago. Have you seen it yet? Are you going to see her when she comes?
No, I'm going to MetLife in July. I will see it.
Okay, so I saw her in Denver. I'm seeing her again here in Dallas in October. It is a great concert. You will love every second of it. I was standing and maybe cheering and screaming at the same time during that concert. So, yeah, it's a great concert. But back to the issue at hand. We all know my love for Taylor. So
I have
go ahead.
Question. Okay, so there's one main sister that had an issue with the blog post, right? Okay, and what was y'all's issue before the blog post? Was there one main issue, or was it just that y'all weren't getting along?
I mean, over the last 5 years, it's been a lot of things. Her and I don't know, it must be girls or maybe it's sisters. Like, I've been close with each of them on and off for 5 years. Like, it's just like one's really close with me and then one's not. And it's just like certain things like that. Her and I have been on and off for those 5 years. I chose not to go to my husband's mother's birthday the month before, and they took offense to that too. Again, it wasn't anything personal. It was just like, I don't want to involve myself in the drama and the negativity. Like, everyone else can go, like, I'm fine. And they took that personal too. So I guess that was maybe like the start of this scenario.
Wow.
Just an in-law's birthday? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't go because there was going to be awkwardness, or because you didn't go that caused the awkwardness?
I think because I didn't go, they took offense to it. And okay. I got a few texts of like, why aren't you coming? Are you mad at one of us? Blah, blah, blah. And it was like, no, I'm just not coming. Like, I have plans. I just, you know, it wasn't like a big deal to me.
What kind of birthday was it?
It was my mother-in-law's birthday. Like, I think she turned like 62, like nothing like really. It was just like
It wasn't like 50 or 60.
No, it was like 63, maybe 62. And it was like a lunch. That was it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you had actually informed us. Hold on. I need to pull it up here real quick. You had actually sent us some of the text messages that you got from your sister-in-law.
Yes.
Do you mind if we read these?
Not at all.
Okay. And this was, you only sent her response. So I'm assuming this is like right after she read the post.
Yeah, we had seen them that day, and it was a little uncomfortable. And then, again, it sounds bad, but I ironically just had it, like, with a blog, you can plan to have it published, and I just happened to have it published, like, that day, not even thinking, and it blew up in my face, clearly. But anyway, they were together and read it.
How old is this sister, the one that who sent you these texts?
She'll be 30 in September.
Oh, geez.
So is she younger or older?
She's older. We're my husband and I are 27.
Okay. When I read,
she's the oldest.
When I read these, I just assumed this was some 20 or 21 year old sister. But okay.
Oh no.
So she wrote you.
I knew.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She wrote, "Bye, bitch. R.I.P. Fuck you. Go die. I'm asking for it. I know, but you are fucking crazy, and we are all counting down the days until you are out of our life. Hopefully this will bring you guys closer together. If not, then leave. Get the fuck out of here." Okay. Yeah. Wait. So she's really upset at you and cursing you, but then she's in the same breath hoping this brings you closer to her brother? I don't... Huh?
I think it was like I really hope it doesn't, but like a kind of sarcastic, like, I hope it does, but hopefully it doesn't, and you're gone.
Oh, I see. Okay, I see.
Like a sarcasm, yeah.
Do they have a good relationship with your husband?
Not her in particular. Like, they've never been the closest out of the four of them, more so the other two, I would say. I would say, like, average for a sibling, I would say. I don't have siblings, so that's my opinion, I guess, but.
And your blog post was called Five Lessons I've Learned from Reputation. And one of their comments, I'm assuming you looked this up and this is definitely the sister. And she, you've talked to her about it and you know this is her?
I know it's her. So she sent me those texts. I blocked her number. She texted my husband. He blocked her. Then she texted my mother. She blocked her, and then like 5 minutes later, I got the comments on my blog. So I just kind of felt like I don't know who else would do that. And the IP addresses matched as well. We checked because I was like, maybe we're just being dramatic, but no.
Yeah, and she wrote,
Alex, you're the dramatic one.
Yeah. She wrote, Alex is an awful under your blog post, Alex is an awful excuse for a human being. She is a terrible writer and should quit while she's ahead. The entire community is mocking her for this waste of fucking time. Okay, yeah. So where does your husband stand in all this? I'm assuming he's on your side, but where is he with his family? Is he telling them, like, what are you guys doing? Is he cut himself off from them? Where is he at with them?
He has completely cut off her specifically. Okay. Doesn't really speak to the other ones, not on bad terms, but doesn't speak to them, and has also not spoken to his mother in a month since it's happened. That's where, like, my issue lies is, you know, I can stand up for myself, but how does it happen in my marriage when this is his family? And that's kind of, like, where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he is on my side, and he's said it numerous times. Like, you don't treat people like this, whether they're your brother's wife or anyone. You don't talk to people like that. So.
Right.
Well, especially over a blog post where you said this doesn't have anything to do with you, right?
I mean, yeah. Yeah, and the fact that they took offense to it, and I'll be honest, like, if they took offense to it, like, it literally says, you know, if you hurt me once, shame on you. If you hurt me twice, shame on me. And, like, I'm not going to put my time into people that hurt me and do mean things to me. So if you took offense to it, clearly you're feeling, like, something in your conscience. Because it wasn't just, like, I'm going to lock you out for no reason. There was a reason, you know.
And how long ago was this?
The end of May.
Okay, so it's been a month. What has been going on in the last month with that relationship? Are you still getting harassment?
No, it stopped. Well, we blocked everything, so I don't even know if we could. But no, it stopped after that, blogs.
Obviously, there have been no family picnics or anything like that where you've seen them or he has seen his sisters without you. Has he gone to visit his family since then or no?
He has spoken to the other one that's older than him. That's not this one, but the one that's younger than she's in the middle of them. And kind of like made amends with her about it. Cause we thought she was involved and we kind of like squashed that. But hasn't spoken to anybody else since.
Okay. So the older sister who wrote this.
Yes.
What have you said to your husband? Like, I'm not going to talk about this anymore, or we're not going to hang out with them. I'm not going to do any family stuff until she straightens up and apologizes because this can't, obviously you're married to your husband and he's got a family that I'm sure is local and you guys do stuff together. This is obviously going to be a giant elephant in the room until it's solved. So what is your plan going forward?
I've made it very clear to him. I don't want anything to do with her ever again. I don't want our kids near her. I don't want, it's hard. It's like a battle internally because like, I don't want to do that to him despite the fact that he's on my side. But like for myself, no, just like a literal no in all realms. Again, this has happened again or before, not as extreme as this. This is the worst it's ever been, but her and I have had things like this happen before that's affected my husband and I. And again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Now there won't be a third time and I'm done.
Do y'all
for my
have
own
kids?
Happiness. No, not yet, but it's, again, it's been a discussion as of late because this has been such a big, big thing for me personally and for our marriage.
Right. Do they have kids?
None of them have kids, no.
The 30-year-old that sent this, these texts and the blog comment on the blog post doesn't have kids?
No.
Are they married?
The one that sent it is. From what I hear, the night that it happened, the younger sister tried to stop her and her husband stood up for her and let her do it. Again, I wasn't there. But that's what what we're being told about the night that it happened.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, what do you say?
Yeah.
I still look at it and I'm like, I don't even know how to process any of this.
Ashley?
Do you want to resolve things?
Only if it was for him. But if he's saying wholeheartedly, absolutely not, then I don't know if I can swear, but absolutely effing not. Again, it's too tumultuous for my life. It's literally like eaten up my whole life the last month. Yeah. Like, I don't want. Yeah.
What if she reached out and said, hey, that was wrong of me. I'm sorry. Let's hash this out. You would be open to that, right?
No.
Wait, do you know why you're like that? Because you're an only child. And like,
maybe. No, but you're right. That is, maybe that's why. But I also have dealt with it with all of them for so long that I'm like, I personally think like I've had each of them reach out with different issues and be like, let's do it. And I'm like, okay, great. Cause again, I don't know if you believe in horoscopes. I'm a Pisces. I'll forgive everyone again and again.
Right.
And I just keep getting hurt again and again. So now I'm like, okay, this is something, can you say sorry and make this okay? Like the things that you said to me, I don't really know.
Right. Well, the reason I was saying that, I wasn't even saying that in a bad way. I was actually saying that in a positive way. Like, I consider myself an only child, even though I have a sister. She just didn't come around until I was 9. So I was used to not having to deal with other people in these ways. And I still kind of struggle with it. Like my husband is from a huge family. And at first it was a lot, not in a bad way, but just, I'm not necessarily used to having to deal with not only just my emotions, but everyone else's emotions. So it's a lot. Whereas I think like when you're not used to it, you can kind of just be like, I don't have to deal with this. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. And like, I take it all in, and I just, again, from maybe experience, I feel like maybe they don't. Like, I take it in deep. Like, it guts me, you know? And, like, why do I want to deal with that and again? Like, it's, yeah.
Okay, I want to lighten the mood here real quick. If you had to, if you had to relate a Taylor Swift song with this situation, what would it be?
I mean, so the one that I wrote about, which I said, I guess, like, backwards relate, was, oh, my God, what is it called? I'm blanking. Oh, my God, I'm totally, don't doubt my Taylor Swift addiction. it's literally my favorite. Oh, my God, what am I doing?
How are you forgetting?
I did something bad. That one.
Oh, I did something bad. Yeah.
Like, I'm the bad guy in this situation because I cut everyone out, and I don't feel bad about it.
I don't think that makes you a bad person. I just think, like I said, you just deal with it differently because you're an only child. And I think that what they have to understand is that y'all are coming at it from two very different places. Whereas they probably see, you know, you not coming to a birthday party. They probably think that's like super hurtful, but you don't realize why it's super hurtful. You know what I mean? Y'all are never going to agree on those things because you see things completely differently. Right. But what I kind of feel like is going on is this is all jealousy related. And
that's me. And I don't really put flack in it, but.
Well, I mean, honestly, someone who takes the time to read a blog post and leave a mean comment like that, that's some strong jealousy, because when you just hate someone, you don't even put effort into it. Do you know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
And I think the best way to deal with jealousy is that ultimately you're just going to have to be the bigger person if you do want to resolve. That's why I was saying if you want to resolve things, I think you're the mature one in this relationship. So you're going to have to be the one to kind of be like, I get the jealousy part of it. I'm going to choose to ignore it. I'm going to love you anyway. We're not going to be best friends, but we're going to be family members. And right. A lot of times that's how a lot of families work.
Yeah. I mean, unless you and your husband get a divorce, you are going to be linked to this family and this sister-in-law until you and your husband are no longer. So it's like, it's going to make everything so awkward. I think I know you don't want any resolution, but I almost think you kind of have to, because at some point, maybe not, you know, it happened a month ago. Similar. Obviously, let it simmer down, but this is going to make every family dinner and family holiday gathering so awkward, because she hates you. She told you to die. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, dumb. It's, like, so laughable. Sorry, I just can't even believe someone said that. That's, like, above the age of 12. I just can't. Anyway. My husband's totally fine with, like, not going to family parties. Like, he's like, we'll invite my mom over for dinner. And his parents are separated, so I don't know if that helps or hurts. I think it helps because we don't have to see everyone. I don't know. Yeah, if I have to be the bigger person again, that will come in time, I think. It's not now, though.
I also just think, you know, being the bigger person doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be the one, like, going out of your way to, like, be nice or something like that. Whereas if you just forgive someone, then that person no longer has hold over you. And you don't waste your time and emotions on them any longer, because they can't hurt you and they can't affect you. So if you're just like, you know what, you're my sister. There's nothing I can do really to make you like me. I'm just going to love you anyway. And if you want to act that way to me, fine. But, you know, I'm going to have kids one day. I'd love for them to be able to call you aunt and actually like you. Yeah. That's why I'm just saying, I think what you have to figure out is if you want this to get better with them. Because that's really, I think you've already taken all the necessary steps. I'm all for eliminating toxic people out of your life.
I remember months ago, you were doing a Q&A and I asked you and you said, or no, you someone asked you and you said, eliminate negative people. And I screenshotted it and I was like, yes, like, I agree. Like,
no, I totally agree with that. I mean, I even have family members who, like, I disagree with very strongly over political things. And I mean,
wait, you, Ashley? No way.
Yeah, are you sure? I don't know.
No, but, you know, at the end of the day, when we're together for Thanksgiving and stuff like that, I just don't mention it, and we all get along, and I still love them, and I would never dream of, you know, when I do have a kid, not having them be a part of my kid's life. But at the same time, when people treat you like shit, you do not have to put up with it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just kind of overseeing everything. Now that I think about it, don't blame me. Look what you made me do, and call it what you want, I would say, are the three songs that, you know, because
I think I actually referenced all those in my post, not on purpose. But
don't blame me. And because you shouldn't be blamed, because it's not your fault. She's the one that wrote the texts. Look what you made me do. You've cut off their family. This is why we can't have nice things. There's that thing. I mean, like, we can't have nice things because of what they did. We can't have nice holiday family get togethers anymore because the sister's a bitch.
I just feel like Taylor Swift supporting me in this silent, maybe not even silently, just full heartedly.
Hey,
and like,
when you go see her at MetLife, if you get a chance to pull Taylor aside for a little bit, ask her about the situation. ask her what she thinks about this whole thing.
Yeah. She's a singer, songwriter, therapist.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, really.
She's the best. By the way, when I was at her concert, I had row one. I wasn't on the floor, but I had row one where the stadium was, and her mother was walking around, and Like her mother walked right in front of me, and I could have taken a picture with her mommy, but I didn't.
That's so cool. I'm like probably nosebleeds, but that's fine. It'll still be amazing.
Well, we're gonna check it back in with you in like a month or so. Just get an update, but when we before we record our second show, and we'll update people on everything. But I don't know if anything's gonna be resolved with you by then. I don't expect you to do a 180 and say like, mm-hmm. "Hey, let's hammer this out." But I think eventually, down the line, I think you need to be more accepting of her, or not accepting of her, but be open to the fact that if she wants to apologize, you need to be there to accept her. She might not want to, and these texts that she sent you, which were vile and disgusting, maybe she's just never going to get over that. It seems so extreme for a blog post that was her reaction to it, especially if you've told her, like, look, this has nothing to do with you, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe hates Taylor Swift.
Yeah, maybe she just hates Taylor Swift.
That's the thing. We were going to go together. Like, this is the album. Oh. Like, when we were close.
This is the one you were going to go with?
Out, it was like, let's all go. And it was like a sister thing. And then it just depleted so quickly. It's just very ironic. It's just all very ironic. Wow. But I will say, if it ever comes to me accepting it, it'll be first for myself and for him. It won't be for anybody else. So
okay. That's
something I think I'm going to have to handle.
Did we even help with anything at all?
I know it's just such a hard thing to process. I don't even know. But yeah, no, it's nice to hear from people that aren't even involved in the whole situation, because everyone is. My family is. My friends are. Like, you know, everyone knows them. So it's nice to hear.
And that's that's why I do this. And that's why I've always done my Dr. Reality Steve thing, is because when you get advice from your friends and people that are on your side, you're never going to get an unbiased response. I mean,
right.
Some friends will be honest with you, but it's usually stuff that when you hear it from your friends, if it's not what you want to hear, you're not going to listen to it anyway. But for people that, like Ashley and myself, who have no idea who you are until this phone call, and we can just say, look, this is how we feel, and you know, you can choose to take the advice or not follow it, whatever the case may be.
Right.
Well, and this might sound very cynical, but I feel like it's very rare that people actually take advice.
Yeah.
But I feel like it helps to talk about it, and it helps just to hear other people's opinions.
At least take the advice right away. Like, maybe it doesn't settle in, but then when you think about it later on, you're like, oh, you know what? I was told that in the beginning, and maybe I should have listened. Yeah, I don't think many people take advice at all, and I can I can vouch for that within this Bachelor franchise that, frankly, people don't take advice that I've given them directly. That influenced and had a major impact on something they were currently going through, and they asked me for the advice, I gave it, and they ignored it, which was even 10 times worse to me. It's like, then why are you asking me for advice? You know?
Well, I also just feel like, for anyone listening that might have something similar, like, I avoided it for the last 3 weeks, and it imploded on me this last week, which is why I messaged Ashley. Like, it was just like, I had to like have this like reckoning of it, and like, don't avoid it.
Yeah. Right.
Like you said, they avoid the advice. Like, I don't avoid what you're feeling, because that's what it wasn't. And I'm not someone to do that, but I did it because it was that traumatic for me to hear those. No one wants to hear those words about themselves. So it was a hard thing. But I feel better now that it's. Yeah. Right. And I feel better now that it's like out, and I stopped like burying it. So don't do that.
Well, good thing.
Listen to my advice.
Good thing that you did. Yeah. Glad it's out there, and like I said, we'll check back in with you in a month. But thank you, Alex, for coming on.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoy the Taylor concert. You most definitely will. If you're a fan, it's impossible not to. So,
well, I'll probably see it next time we talk. So,
oh yeah,
can't wait to hear.
Yes.
Yay! Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
All right. So that was Alex in New York. Don't you love my advice, Ashley?
I loved your advice. I loved all of your Taylor Swift stories too.
Oh God, she's so great. Have you ever seen her in concert, Ashley?
I have not.
Oh,
Do
you like her music? Do you like her songs? Do you like it?
No, I do. Okay. I mean, and what's so funny is Burley really loves Taylor Swift.
Really?
So like, yeah, loves.
That's awesome. I mean, we've talked about Burley in the past, the kid you nanny for and have for years.
Yeah.
But now that makes me like him even more, the fact that he likes Taylor Swift.
He's pretty great.
What's his favorite song? Which one does he sing all the time?
I mean, I think I'd have to say the one that really made him love her was Shake It Off.
Shake It Off, yeah.
So I think that'll be it forever.
Makes sense. I mean, that was the one. That's the, it's like, I guess the catchiest one. I mean, when you think about it.
It is.
So, as for Alex, I mean, I have no idea what's going to happen. I can't believe that a 30-year-old sister-in-law got that riled up over a blog post to send her that. It's one thing to say, I read the blog post. Hey, is this about us? Where did this come from? Why are you writing this? Like, did we do something wrong? As opposed to, die, bitch. I hope you, like, what? How did she not just come at her like a rational human being?
I mean, have you ever had jealous sisters?
No. I mean, but it's like if they were very old, if all three sisters were like totally protective of him, then I could see it. But she seemed to say that, no, he's kind of, yeah, he's the only boy and he's got three sisters, but he's only close with one of them. And and it didn't seem like it was her. So I don't know. That was kind of weird.
It sounds like she's awesome and they're just jealous.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably just has like a good relationship with her husband and she's writing like a cool blog and they're just like typing mean things on it all the time, which is so crazy.
Yeah, which we see all the time when it comes to social media now, but you don't expect it. You expect it from strangers who have an egg as their picture on Twitter, not your sister-in-law that you see on occasion, you know?
Yeah.
That's so ridiculous.
This is the dark side of social media.
Oh my gosh, especially when families are attacking each other. Anyway, Ashley, first show in the books. How about that?
I loved it.
How'd you like that?
It was great.
Was that fun for you?
I liked it.
Okay, good.
I mean, the first one, that was very tough. And I hope even, like, now I'm even, like, thinking of advice that I should have said. Like, I just feel like I could have taken an hour with her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, there's a lot of things we could have dove into, but we got to the basics of it. And, the two calls couldn't have been more polar opposite if we tried. If you want to be on a future episode of the He Said, She Said podcast, by all means, email me at steve@realitysteve or hit Ashley up on Twitter DM or Instagram DM or however you want to contact Ashley. And just let us know. All you have to do is have Skype available to yourself and just let us know what time zone you're in and like when's the best time for you to record. And we're going to do this every month. Now that we're releasing this on July 3rd, I'm assuming we're going to try and do the first Tuesday of every month. And we'll try and keep it at that. Can't guarantee it, but that's the goal. And what else? That'll do it for the first podcast. So, Ashley, thank you for joining and being a part of this. And
thanks for having me.
And we will talk to you next month. Thank you all for tuning in for the first episode of season 2, or whatever you want to call it, the relaunch, the reboot. And we will be back here next month. Talk to you later, everybody. See ya.
He's telling me no. He's dragging me down. He's leading me on and stringing around. But I ain't playing those games no more. This morning I am closing that door and I just blink. When you start feeling lonely, I just blink. When you regret what you've done, I just blink. When you're trying to find me, baby, blink and you'll miss me, cause I'll be gone.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Your skin refuses to be defined by age. That's why Agency creates personalized anti-aging formulas that smooth fine lines, lighten dark spots, and improve the appearance of dark circles. Each formula is tailored to you and prescribed by a licensed dermatology provider. Formulas are customized with clinically proven ingredients like tretinoin, which is up to 20 times stronger than retinol. Get your first month free at withagency.com. That's withagency.com. $4.95 shipping and handling subject to consultation. Subscription required. Cancel anytime.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called Needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota. So little time.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.